Turn to the chapter which we read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and we shall read again the last verse of the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. There is no doubt that we are living presently in a day of small things. That as regards the cause of God in our own land. There is still plenty of religion, and many perhaps throughout society who know something of the gospel. Many regret the decline in our nation, in its moral state. But what is the remedy? That is the great question. And if you would ask people, how may the problems, the difficulties of our present day be resolved? They would have their answers. But most of the answers would be centered upon man. We need to do this, we need to do that. Putting our trust in man. And that is always a foolish thing. God may make use of men. He may raise them up and they will serve him in one way or another, wittingly or unwittingly. And they will fulfill his purpose. And it may be a purpose for good. But always the remedy for the ills of society must come from God. It cannot come from man, because man is the problem. The problem is in man, in his heart. That's the source of it. And man cannot cure it. Not by any way or any means. It was something like this in the time of Jeremiah. This godly man, this faithful man of God, and he lamented the tragic state of his own people, of Judah. There in verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved for the hurt of the daughter of my people. Am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. And you go into the next chapter. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. That's Jeremiah. You can apply these words to the Lord himself as he sees the state of his own people, but we see them as Jeremiah's words, and we see there the sort of men we need today, the sort of believers and ministers we need today, not indifferent to the plight of the nation and the Lord's cause, but exercised and weeping, because this surely ought to make the Lord's people weep when the land is filled with wickedness, when there have been such grievous departures from God and His truth as to allow in such abominable things that would not have been mentioned in a former generation, but are now committed openly and, it seems, without shame. Well, a question is posed in our text, and we shall explore that question. And it concerns a balm. The balm in Gilead. And Jeremiah will make use of that, and the Lord through Jeremiah, to challenge his people. They know about the balm. They know its use, its efficacy. But though they know the gospel, they're not making use of it. They're rejecting it, or at least neglecting it, in their time of need. And if there is no repentance, if the warnings are not heeded, well, then the Lord may at length withdraw altogether and go elsewhere, as it were. That's how we view things in our own nation today. We cannot say that we have any claim upon God. We cannot say that God is bound to remain amongst us. Where is the faith? Where is the living faith in God, in the scriptures, and in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And of course we must put these things to ourselves in a personal way. The balm in Gilead. Firstly, recognizing the balm. When people in Judah had some bodily sickness, they knew what to do. There was this balm, a renowned balm, some sort of resin, having some fragrance about it, but above all having a soothing quality, came from Gilead. It was applied to the body. Not only did it soothe, but it seemed to heal. It was available, and it was sought after. And whenever anyone had some complaint of that kind, some bodily affliction, this is what they would turn to, and they would make good use of it. And they knew, people of God, what they should do when there was any sickness of a spiritual kind. Because they had the scriptures, because they had prophets among them, not least Jeremiah. The word of God was not unknown to them. The remedy for the sickness of the soul was not unknown to them. The promise of God was proclaimed in their midst. Chapter 3 and verse 22. God's promise: return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Oh, this is our gracious God, the God of covenant mercy, wronged by his people, and often in a most profound way, they would even turn aside from Jehovah, and they would go after the vanities of the Gentiles, the false gods, the idols of the heathen nations. They would hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, holding no water. That's the world, and material things. They would go this way and that way, away from God. I will heal your backslidings. A long-suffering God, God who had made covenant with Israel, with Judah, and for the sake of the remnant among them, extended that promise. But how many gave heed to it? They had the knowledge, but what were they doing with the things they knew only too well? So often they hardened their hearts. A stiff-necked, rebellious, gainsaying people. These are the descriptions you have in the Old Testament concerning the covenant nation. You see, the Lord's people, the visible church, it's not different from the world in terms of the heart, except by grace alone. And if grace is not there in any individual who has a place in the church, then that person, for all their knowledge, or their profession even, is no different from the world. We might say they're in a worse position than those of the world, those who make no profession of belief in God. Unto whom much is given, of them much will be required. And there are those here, and they may have much in the way of knowledge of Scripture, because they learn these things even in their childhood and their youth, and their place has never been empty in terms of God's house. You have the knowledge of the truth, but do you have a saving knowledge? Has grace entered your soul? Do you have spiritual light? Do you have God's salvation? And when the Lord speaks in His word and speaks through the preaching of backsliding, do you acknowledge your own backsliding? And do you heed the call to return to the Lord? Judah refused to repent of their sins, and the land languished. The misery of immorality, adultery and theft and murder and idolatry, it was all there. And often it was the priests who led in these things to their shame, and the people then followed. And God threatened wasting, destruction. And there's something very perverse about that, is there not? A privileged people, and yet not benefiting from their privileges. And the judgment threatened of a most severe kind because of that. And we apply this to our own nation. We apply it to a nation that experienced in the grace of God a wonderful reformation, a reformation from popery, a return to the gospel of grace and the pure worship of God, and a society built upon that right foundation, and the institutions of the land governed according to the word of God. And then the generations came and went, and there was a steady decline, and now it's become a very steep one, and we're descending toward an abyss because we've had this heritage, such a goodly heritage, and we now despise it, and we try to hide it, and we would be embarrassed if it were mentioned. That's how so many in the land view these matters, and especially those who have authority and influence. There are few indeed who love the Reformed faith in doctrine, worship, discipline, and government. Yet we are pledged to stand for these things. And we should be weeping today if we have a love for the Lord, for his cause, and a love for our own people, in our own nation, in our own island, in our own families. So many of them perishing in their sin and unbelief and defiance of God. Man's nature has not improved since the days of faithful Jeremiah. The balm, the gospel balm, is not recognized by many, but it must still be proclaimed. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the gospel. You've heard it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it with your whole heart by grace? Do you know forgiveness for your sin? Have you been pardoned by God? Are you right with him? Do you have an assurance of his love? Do you know something of the joy of the Lord and the hope of heaven? Well, we all know what to do if we are sick. We go to a physician. But have we gone to the great physician? There's only one that will do for our soul. That is Jesus Christ. See him exalted on high, at the right hand of God, reigning as king. But yet the high priest of his people, and as the high priest of his people, having offered the one sacrifice for sins forever, when he was on earth, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he now ever liveth to make intercession for us, that the benefits of what he won on the cross for his people might come to them. So your only hope is in Christ, Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ ascended, and Christ seated at the right hand of God the Father. Recognizing the balm, there was a balm in Gilead. It was well known. It was used. But the balm in Gilead, that is the gospel, salvation from the Lord, his mercy and grace, and repentance and pardon. These things, though known, they were not valued. They were put away. So it was in Judah and Jeremiah's day. So it appears to be in our land, in our day. And then to consider more the rejection of the balm. We have said that Jesus Christ is the great physician, because he has the cure for sin sickness. This all-pervading sickness which affects the whole man. This is not some light malady. That is how many view it. Sin is a little thing. Sin is something that I can almost deal with myself if I choose to do it. They attribute a power to the will of man which it does not have, a power to do good, to choose that which is good, spiritually good. Man does not have that power, not since the fall. The will is in bondage. This was a truth recovered at the Reformation. And especially Martin Luther was used by God to teach man's will is a slave to sin. Why do men love the pleasures of sin? Because of their nature, their sinful nature. It's corrupt. It's enmity against God. And the will follows the nature. And so, Jesus Christ, this great physician, who has the cure for sin, he is rejected by the natural man. And the sinner goes on in his sin. He may try to excuse it, to cover it over. He may try to hide from the reality of what he's doing. He may seek to quieten his conscience in various ways. He will try to perform things that he thinks are praiseworthy, to do good deeds, to be religious, as though these things would cover his misdeeds, his evil deeds. And you see the problem. It's like some physician applying something very superficial which cannot deal with the real problem the patient has. Perhaps there were many who sought for the balm in Gilead just to give them some sort of relief from the pain that they were suffering because of their sickness, when the sickness, the illness, was really a deep-seated one, and perhaps there was no remedy for it. But they got a little comfort because the balm soothed them and it dulled their pain. Oh, dear friend, it cannot be like that. It must not be like that when it comes to the soul. The problem we all have is a problem of the heart, and it requires something radical. Scripture speaks of a new heart and a new spirit, and how the Lord himself takes away the heart that we have by nature, which is described as stony, hard, with no desire for God, dead toward God. The Lord takes that heart out of our flesh, and he gives a heart of flesh, a living heart, a heart that seeks God. There's the beginning of something good in that heart. God has given it. He's given grace. He's given a new beginning. That is something to think about at the beginning of a new year. It is in many senses a new beginning. We look back and we look forward. And do you know the new beginning that we all need? It's not simply to turn over a new leaf, to make resolutions. Indeed, we should not make them if we're not meaning to keep them. And many things we cannot do apart from the grace of God. There is the answer. God's grace. The new beginning is by the grace of God. Giving a new heart. Do you know anything of it? Has the Lord spoken to you with power? Have you known conviction in your conscience? And have you been brought to an end of yourself? Have you seen yourself as you truly are in God's sight? The Lord, looking upon your heart, sees guilt, shame, corruption, death. He sees all these things. And he sees that which deserves his punishment. Because he is a just God. God can never overlook sin. He always deals with it. Every sin ever committed is punished by God. And you may say, well, what about the sins of Christians? Are they punished for their sins? Well, in one sense, yes. But in another sense, no. Their sins are punished, but they are punished in their glorious substitute. In Jesus Christ, who took their place, took on their debts, suffered throughout his life, experiencing the vindictive wrath of God, because the guilt of the sins of his people was imputed to him. He was never a sinner, never tainted by sin, but he bore the consequence of the sins of his people in experiencing God's righteous wrath. And because Jesus Christ stood in the place of his people, all who believe the gospel, all who seek this gospel balm, they are pardoned. And they are not punished for their sins. Not in a vindictive way. Christ bore that. And if they experience anything of God's anger, it is a fatherly anger. It is a correction, a chastisement for their faults. And that in love. And that as a blessing. The balm in Gilead, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ crucified in the sinner's place. That's the balm we need. Never reject it. But many do. Do you see that in our land today? All religions, it seems, are tolerated, even commended, but the religion of the Word of God, biblical Christianity, there is a hatred for it. And people rail against it. It's immoral. It's too exclusive. It's not something suited to our modern, advanced culture. We know better than the primitive way of religion that the Jews had and these early Christians. How blind and blind to the essential thing, the heart of the matter, the atonement of Jesus Christ and the cure of the cross for man's sin. But people still need a balm. Most people will acknowledge that there are things wrong in society. You have to. And many will acknowledge that man is not perfect. You have to acknowledge that. But what do? They look for another balm than the balm of the gospel of Christ. One easier to apply. One less difficult to bear. People will try to cover their wounds. The wounds of their soul with the plaster that man himself has invented. Some religion of a misguided and false kind. Some philosophy or way of living that man has dreamed up, or to bring it closer to home. There are many within the church who seek another balm than the balm of free and sovereign grace. They would apply the works of the law, their own good deeds, the works of charity, the kindness, the good they do to their neighbor, the works of religion, all their prayers, all their duties, all their attendance at the means of grace. These are physicians of no value. Some of these things may have their place. The means of grace. You must certainly come to the means of grace. Public and private as well. But the means are just that. They're not going to cure you. You need the one who is made known in and through the means. The word, the sacraments, the prayer. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He alone has the balm. He alone is the balm, crucified, dead, and risen again. It is the heart that is sick, and only the Lord can mend your heart. Are you still hiding from the reality of your condition, your state? If you are in the state of sin and misery, well, best to acknowledge that to God, that you are a guilty sinner. Your sins deserve his wrath and curse. But on the ground of the word of God and the promise of the gospel, you come to him as you are, and you ask for this balm. You ask for the healing that Christ gives by his death in the place of sinners. Even his precious blood. And if you come in that way, the Lord will not deny you, and you will know this blessed cure for your sin-sick soul. Rejecting the balm, but also neglecting the balm. Those out with the church are very often guilty of rejecting the gospel altogether. Many within the church tend to be guilty of neglecting the gospel. And that may be our situation. We are hearing much, Sabbath by Sabbath, we sit under sermons. We sing the psalms. We join our amen to the prayers that are offered. And we would never wish to be accused of rejecting the things of God. That would be an offence to us if someone said that. We might even pride ourselves that we are among those who believe in God and who believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We would not deny that. But there is another danger. Not outright denial, but neglect. How can we measure that? How can we know if we are guilty of neglecting the remedy and missing the cure? When you leave the service and return to your own home, what will your thoughts be? Will you be meditating upon what you heard? Will the Word of God be speaking to you? And will you perhaps be offering up a prayer, a plea to God to bless it to you? That would be good. And that might bring you real blessing. The Lord hearing your cry going up, taking note that you are in earnest, that you have a sense of sin, and you apprehend His mercy. That's why you're going to God. You know you need mercy. The Lord answering your prayer, bringing to your soul His pardon and His peace. You should go home, and that is how you should be spending the time when you go home. But perhaps when you go home, immediately you're speaking about the things of the world. Your thoughts are far from the things of God and the things that you heard in the preaching. And then as the week continues, your thoughts are scarce at all upon the things of God. Perhaps your Bible is not opened, not read, and perhaps you offer no prayers to the Lord during the week. We trust it is not so. But if it was, in any degree, then that would be neglect. That would be saying one thing on the Sabbath and a different thing through the week. As though God's Sabbath day was the only day when religion mattered. But during the rest of the week, it's all your own. Well, God has given us 6 days of the week for our worldly employments and recreations. But not to the exclusion of Himself. Not shutting out the Lord. Private devotions. Family worship. These things are vital. And the Lord has promised to bless these things. It comes down to this. Have we believed upon the Savior? Have we cast ourselves upon Jesus Christ for salvation? There is a truth stated in Acts chapter 9, Verse 34. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Spoken to a needy one by a servant of the Lord. And that truth we are stating to you once again. To the sinner who knows his or her sin and guilt before God. To the sinner who emptied of himself, herself, now looks to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. There is this glorious truth. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. That's why Christ came into the world. To bring in everlasting salvation by his cross. And his people know it. And they rejoice in it. And they will proclaim it while they have breath in their bodies. All of Christ. It is certainly the case that if we neglect so great salvation, if we refuse the balm, the gospel balm, Christ and his atoning blood, if we are lost to go to hell at the end, none of us shall be able to say on the great judgment day that it was because there was no balm in Gilead and no physician there. We will not be able to say that. And you should lay that to heart here and now. You should reckon with that truth. Because you do not know, none of us does, how much longer we have in this world. Before this week ends, even this day, we could be in eternity. And if we have rejected, or more likely, neglected, the gospel of Christ, if we have not sought God's mercy unto our salvation, then we will end in destruction. Everlasting destruction. And in that lost eternity, there will be no balm. Nothing to comfort. Nothing to relieve the suffering. Nothing to take away our distress and our utter misery. No balm at all. And the recollection of hearing the gospel and reading the Bible, and hearing God speak, and then putting away the thought, that will only add to our discomfort, indeed our torment. But we knew of the balm of Jesus Christ and his cross, and we neglected it. As we read in Scripture, to be wise and to consider our latter end. We're bound to do that. And may we consider Christ Jesus, the only Saviour, the balm for sinners, by his blood. And may it please the Lord to apply that balm to our souls for our salvation. May God bless his word. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, as we are before thee, wilt thou search our hearts? Wilt thou cause us to know our true selves and where we stand with thee? And if we are outside of Christ, wilt thou cause us to know the need we have of thy forgiveness? And wilt thou enable us to come to Christ and to know the sprinkling of his blood, that we might have our sins forgiven, and that we might have that new beginning, knowing thee, walking with thee, and enjoying thy friendship and fellowship as thy beloved people. Bless us each one. Take us to our homes in safety. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.